We serve a great and awesome God, don't we? And he is good all the time. So we're continuing our lesson from last week, power praying, and we're dissecting the Lord's Prayer. Now, like I said last week, this is hot off the press of the Holy Spirit, because there is no way I would have been able to teach the Lord's Prayer the way I'm teaching it. It's the Holy Spirit who expanded this lesson to me. And I thought that we were going to move on. We did, you know, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We talked about how we should reverence God, reverence his name and all that. Thy kingdom come, you know. And we taught, you know, that what the kingdom of God is. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought we did peace, righteousness, and I thought for sure we were going to move on to joy in the Holy Ghost. But no, the Holy Spirit said no. When I started to work on the lesson, everything that started coming to me was still about peace. So that's what we're going to talk about, peace. And I want to remind, you know, everyone here, if you weren't here last week, what the kingdom of God really is: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So when we're praying, thy kingdom come, this is what we're praying. We're praying in righteousness, we're praying in peace, and we're praying in joy in the Holy Ghost. So let's go into prayer. Father, we just come giving you praise, giving you honor, and giving you glory once more, because, Lord, you are worthy of all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory for everything, Lord, that you have given us, everything that you have done for us through your precious Son, Jesus Christ. He paid a price, Lord, oh God, that, you know, that we couldn't pay, because we owe a debt that we could not pay, and only he was able to pay it. And he paid it willingly, he paid it in full. And because of that, Lord, we have been made the righteousness of God. We can come boldly before your throne and make our petitions known. Lord, you are so good to us. And Lord, we just acknowledge you tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing, for all that you've already done for us. Father, Lord, I submit this lesson to you, and I ask, Lord, that you would help me to teach it as you would have me. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I had, you know, the enemy, of course, he always tried to mess with us teachers, you know, whenever we're teaching. You know, there was, you know, I was just typing my lesson, having a good time, and then suddenly it just disappeared. Just completely off the screen, and I was pushing the panic button. I'm like, where did it go? My God, I'm going to have to start all over again. But God was good. I was able to find it. So we're continuing power praying, and the reason that I, you know, call it power praying is because there's so much power in this prayer. You know, we're used to just reciting it. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and that's good. There's absolutely nothing wrong in that, but there's so much pearls, you know, so much precious gems in this prayer, that if we, you know, we really get it, and I believe this is why the Holy Spirit has, you know, is taking us down this journey. If we begin to put into practice this prayer by praying it, you know, that's why I'm dissecting it line by line, we could turn this world upside down. We really could. So I'm not going to go over what I taught last week, but I'm going to continue because I feel that's where the Holy Spirit will have us to go. For if you missed the lesson last week, you know, I encourage you to listen to it. So let's start in John 14:27. This is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now notice the word let not. You know, this was really highlighted to me, let not, which means that we're in charge here. You know, we're the ones that are supposed to do the let notting. I might not be proper grammar, but you know, you get it. You know, if someone wants to, you know, drive, you know, our car, we could either let or let not. Okay? Someone wants to come and borrow some money from us, we could either let them borrow or we could let not. See, the let not is in our power. And God never tells us to do something that we are not able to do. You know, whenever he gives us a command, it's because he knows that we can do it. And he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We're the ones that take charge of troublesome situations. The enemy would like us to think that we can't, but we can. We're the boss. We're in charge, you know. We don't have to lose sleep. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to stress or allow ourselves to be stressed out, you know. We take charge. We do the let not, and we have to be intentional. The word, there are things about the Word of God that we have to be intentional about it. So there are some things that's automatic, and then there are lots of things that's not automatic. We have to do it. You know, the enemy, you know, he will dangle things, you know, in front of us and try to scare us. But we're the ones who, if we use God's Word, we're the ones who can put a stop to a lot of the things that he would try to come throw our way. I know I told this before, but when we first my husband and I lived in Hawaii for the first time in 1980. You know, he was constantly gone, and I wasn't used to being alone. I was always used to having someone with me. So, you know, when he would leave, you know, it was okay in the daytime, but at night, I used to be so scared. Let me tell you, I heard every creak. I mean, if a crumb fall, I heard it. It's amazing how things are magnetized, you know, at night. Things that you wouldn't normally pay attention to when you're with company, and suddenly you're by yourself and you're hearing all these noise of a pin drop. I mean, I wouldn't sleep. And I had this friend, she would stay on the phone with me until 1 o'clock in the morning, 1:30, sometimes 2 o'clock, talking with me because I was so scared to be alone. And, you know, I would zigzag the furniture. And, you know, we had these louvre windows, you know, where you can take the panes out. I would pile, you know, vegetable cans there in case anybody came. So it would fall, you know, and keep noise, and hopefully, you know, I'd wake up. And then I pushed the nightstand in front of the door with the TV. And, the door that led to the bathroom, I made sure I locked it. I mean, it was crazy. And then to make matters worse, there was these two cats would come outside my window and fight. And you know how cats, you know, they make these weird noises. Oh my God, I used to be terrified. And I wouldn't sleep. I could not sleep till about 5:30 in the morning when I would hear the soldiers running, you know, their PE, and they would be singing. And that's when I felt comfortable and I would fall asleep. And one night, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he gave me 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I'm telling you, I was so desperate. You know, I took hold of that word, and I just kept saying it. God has not given me a spirit of fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. I'm not afraid. I just kept saying it over and over all day. I think it was about, if I remember correctly, it was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon he gave me that scripture. And I just kept saying it over and over and over. I meditated it. And I mean, I was like, you know, the proverb said, a drowning man will clutch at a straw. I was drowning in fear. And I clutched at that straw. I clutched at that lifeline. And I just kept saying it over and over and over again. You know what? I went to sleep that night, had the best sleep I had. I mean, I probably snored. I woke up the next morning to the sunshine, just, you know, streaming down on my face. Then if the cats fought, I didn't hear nothing. I slept like a baby because I meditated the word. See, I did some let nothing that night. I didn't allow fear to come in. You know, there's torment in fear. It's torture. It tortures you. You know, you jump at everything. Your heart is pounding. I mean, it was horrible. And after that night, my friend didn't have to stay with me on the phone until we hours of the morning anymore because I was sleepy. You know, I'd be talking to her and I'd be yawning and everything. I'd fall asleep. One time I fell asleep talking to her on the phone. That's how good the Word of God worked. But see, I had to take hold of it. I had to do something. I had to be intentional about this. It didn't happen automatically. It would have been nice, then I wouldn't have been, you know, losing sleep for so many nights. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit gave me that word, if I didn't take hold of it and do something with it, I would have been struggling, you know? So, God wants us to have peace. I told that story because after then I had peace at night. I slept. I wasn't struggling. There was no fear. And, you know, that's what the kingdom of God is. Peace. God wants his children to have peace. He wants us to live in peace. The enemy would try to terrorize us, you know, and all that. But if we take hold of God's word, we don't have to be afraid. Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as far as, this is the New International Version. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The New Living Translation says, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. The English, the Berean Standard says, if it is possible on your part, live at peace with everyone. The King James says, if it be possible, as much as light in you, live in peace with all men. Now, I like that Paul said, if it is possible, because there are some people, I mean, you know. It's some people, I know there's a scripture, and I think it's somewhere in Psalms that says that they don't give sleep to their eyes unless they commit some kind of strife, you know, paraphrasing. There are people, you know, contention seem to be their second skin. They don't like peace. Wherever they go, there's chaos and confusion and strife and, you know, and everything, every evil thing. And sometimes, you know, it's not easy to live with these people. So, I like it that Paul said, if it is possible as much as light within us, live peaceably with all men. See, we have some, in order to live in peace, sometimes, well, not sometimes, we have to crucify our flesh. You know, when we want to give a piece of our mind, you know, tell them where to go, you know, bite our tongue. Years ago, I had a situation with a particular family member that just ruffled my feathers. Let me tell you, I was so mad. I was so mad. I wanted to tell this person off so badly. Oh, it was on the tip of my tongue, you know, but I couldn't, because what I was going to say to them was not nice, and I knew God was listening, right? And, you know, I didn't want to upset God. I didn't want him to be angry with me, you know, but still, the flesh was just, give it to him, tell him. I went to sleep. I let me tell you, oof. I dreamt about what, of course, I know it was the little demons whispering, I tell him this, come, yeah, go for it, you know. I meditated what I was going to tell him. I rehearsed. Well, next time I said, it was bad. It was so bad. But I didn't want to do it because I knew it would hurt the person. I knew God was listening. I didn't want a record, you know, and I get to eternity of what I said. But my flesh was just, oh, God. And so I came to church. I had just started coming to prayer. And, you know, at the time it was Miss Sarah and Miss Margaret and Miss Katie, you know, the old timers. And I just barged in. And I said, I need prayer. You all got to pray for me. And I told them, you know, how upset I was because of what this person, they all laid their hands, Bunny, too. And they all prayed over me. And you know what? That desire, that urge to really tell them a thing or two just flew out. I don't know. It just disappeared. But you see, the enemy was stirring me, to, you know, he was stirring up some strife. And what I was going to say to this person was not going to bring, it was not going to be peaceful. It was going to hurt some feelings. It was going to, you know, put a wedge in our relationship. This is all the enemy does. He doesn't want us to live in peace. But, and so there are times we have to crucify our flesh. We have to put our flesh under control. So for peace, that's why Paul said, you know, if it were possible, as much as possible, live in peace with all men. And I know that, you know, sometimes it's not. One time I was listening to Court TV, and these two women appeared before the judge, and one was a pastor, and the other one was a member in the church, and they couldn't settle their differences. They went to court. And the judge looked at them and said, "Aren't you all supposed to be church people?" And I mean, I was not in the courtroom. I was at home, but I was hurt. I felt embarrassed. I felt wounded. You know, this is not the kind of example that God wants us to portray to the world. You know, we're supposed to be able to settle our differences. And so, you know, Paul, he rebuked the Corinthians at one time because, you know, they were squabbling among each other in the church. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 6:7, he said, "Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you." Now, if you're wondering what this has got to do with the Lord's Prayer, I'm teaching on peace. Okay, I got to remind you. So, these Corinthians, they were squabbling with each other, and they were taking each other to court. And Paul said, "This, you know, this is not right. There's a fault. Why do you rather not take wrong? Why do you not suffer yourselves to be defrauded?" Sometimes, in order to take peace, to keep the peace, we have to step back, and, like Paul said, allow ourselves to be defrauded, allow ourselves to be wrong. Now, our flesh doesn't want to do that. The flesh wants to retaliate, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But God says, no, this is how the kingdom of God works. You know, we take a step back, and this is what makes a difference between Christianity and other religions. You know, there, you know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, you did something to me, I'll do you back double. And it never stops. It just keeps going on and on and on. But that's not what the word says. I'm kind of jumping ahead here of my teaching, but I'm going to go with the flow. You know, the word says that we should be different. We should pray for our enemies. Do good to those who despitefully use us and abuse us. You know, our flesh doesn't want to do that, does it? You know, when somebody do us wrong, we want to do, you know, pay them back. And, you know, this is, I guess, a couple years ago, the Holy Spirit checked me, and I think I shared this last week, on the way I used to pray. You know, the Holy Spirit, and it stemmed from something that Pastor said. And it made me step back and examine my own prayer life, how I prayed. Oh my God, I did not pray mercy for nobody. I was like, God, get them. Teach them a lesson. Give them a dose of their own medicine, you know? But, you know, that's not the kind of God we serve. He's merciful. He's kind. He's patient. He's long-suffering. And you know, when we want God to dole out, you know, justice, we need to stop and think, if it was us, how quickly do we want God to dole out justice when we mess up, you know? So he said that we should pray, you know, for those who despitefully use us. Do good to them. You know, be kind to them. And in doing so, you know, we can get peace. They can see the difference between us and them. They can see, you know, the difference between our God and the God, the so-called God that they serve, because there's only one God, one who is a real God, and that's the God we serve. And when we do, you know, we have peace. We bring peace. We make it possible for peace to come into our lives. So 1 Timothy 2:1-4, I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions. These are different types of prayers. And giving of thanks be made for all men, not just some men, but all men. Now, I had to, this really got to me. I mean, you know, I pray for people and, you know, I try to do my best to pray. But some people make it impossible for you to want to pray for them. You know, you don't want to pray for them. But, you know, we have to, because God says pray for all men. Whether we like them or not, you know, whether they agree with us or we agree with them, that's not the point. God says, you know, we need to pray for these people who are in authority. Now, this was the new part here that God gave me last night. For kings and for all that are in authority, you know, in other words, we pray for our mayors, our governors, you know, senators, congressmen, our judges, you know, all the people in authority, we pray for them. And I only used to see this part, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Because that's what I heard taught over and over. This is why we should pray, so that, you know, we could live peaceful lives. But last night, the Holy Spirit highlighted something. He highlighted verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. It's not just so that we would live a peaceable life, but so that these people would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, how are they supposed to know the truth? How are they supposed to hear about God? How are they supposed to know what the word says if there isn't a bunch of people in the background praying for them? How are their eyes supposed to be enlightened so that they would know what is the hope of his calling? How are they supposed to have a desire to want to be filled with the knowledge of his will? Prayer is the one that does that. You know, when we pray for these people, I mean, they could be the most hedonistic of all. And, you know, our prayers can make a difference in their lives. You know, when I think of when I got saved, I probably was about 18 or 19. I was a tough nut to crack. And the reason, because, you know, it was a holiness church I went to, and they had all these rules, you know, you had to wear hats, and up to this day I hate hats because of that. And, you know, you had to wear three-quarter sleeve and turtlenecks. Me, Guyana is hot. And, you know, you have to walk around in these turtlenecks. I mean, come on. And, you know, your dress had to be below your knees. And I'm a teenager. Who wants to walk around looking like Mother Teresa? You know? And you couldn't wear no jewelry, you couldn't wear no makeup. So even though I went to the church, I wasn't too sure about this salvation, this Christianity thing. You know, I thought, I'm too young for this. We didn't have a lot of teenagers in our church, and I believe it was because of those rules. And so I got this brilliant idea in my head, you know, that when I turn 52, that's a good age to get saved. I don't know why, but 52 was my number. Well, God had another number picked out. Anyway, you know, my pastors, they prayed for me. They prayed for me for about 6 years, because when I met them, I was about 12, 13. And they constantly prayed for me. I mean, they prayed me into the kingdom. In fact, the night that I got saved, I didn't even want to go to church. My mother ran me out the house with a stick. It was a Sunday night. I wanted to stay home and listen to the Golden Oldies. And so I went to church in rebellion, and then I sat in the back, and there was an open window and a house next door, and the Golden Oldies was on. And so I was listening, you know, tap them up. Didn't hear a word the pastor said. And then Golden Oldies went off, and the Country and Western came on. Well, that's not my cup of tea. Sorry, Country and Westerners. I just didn't want to hear about, you know, whatever, those sad songs. So I moved up to the front where, you know, my best friend Desri sat, and the Holy Spirit was waiting for me there, because that's where I came under conviction, such conviction that I could not, there was no way, I mean, I don't know who was praying, it had to be some people praying, but I just knew that this was my time, and I kept feeling in my spirit that if I didn't give my life then, this was it. I wasn't going to have another shot. I just kept feeling, this is it, go on, go on. And so the pastor gave the invitation, and I went up, you know, the flood just broke, and I just cried and cried and cried. But after it was all over, I came out, you know, I was saved. And I've been, you know, I've stayed faithful to the Lord since then. But someone prayed for me. My pastors prayed for me. There were probably others who were praying. But this tough cookie, this tough nut cracked. I cracked because someone prayed for me. You know, we don't know what our prayers can do. We will probably never find out until we get to eternity. It doesn't matter who the people are, what they've done, what heinous crimes they've committed. God says pray for all men. And I remember when Saddam Hussein was about to be executed, he was about to die, you know, he did all these terrible things. And it was right here. I had come for prayer, and I was waiting, you know, for everyone else to get here. And I thought about that man, and I prayed. I don't remember exactly word for word what I prayed, but I prayed and I said, Lord, if it's possible, if there's even a, you know, a tenderness about this man, you know, for you, if he has any kind of leaning, and if he would listen to the Holy Spirit, give him a chance. Because he's a soul, he has a soul, he has an immortal soul. You know, and that's what the word says. You know, that this is pleasing. It's pleasing to God. It's acceptable that, you know, who will have all men to be saved, all men, even him. You know, when Princess Diana, you know, the word came that she was in this accident and stuff, I prayed for her. I don't know her, just, you know, read about her and stuff, but I liked her. Didn't like Hussein, but I prayed for him too. See, it doesn't matter whether we like the person or not. And I remember praying, and I said, Lord, I don't know if she has ever heard a message of salvation, but if she has and she never accepted, give her a chance. You know, I prayed. And, you know, I fell asleep, and I dreamt that night, you know, I dreamt her walking across my room, and she was looking at me. And I woke up, and I flipped on the TV. To hear what the update was, and she had died. I heard she had died. I don't know when she died, but she never knew me, never heard of me. Then, you know, in her state, she didn't have the faintest clue that someone was praying for her. Uh-huh. Someone way across. Uh-huh. in another country praying for her. It could be someone in India or Africa or somebody could be praying for us. They don't know us, never heard of us, never had anything to do with us. The Holy Spirit can quicken us on their heart, and they're praying. Who knows how many times we could have been in an accident, and because somebody prayed, we were able to escape. Or we took another route. Or something. We'll never know these things until we get to eternity, what our prayers did. We'll never know that because we prayed, there was peace in a home. Peace was restored in a home, or peace was restored in a family who were bickering. These days they have all these sibling rivalry and bickering and stuff like that. Our prayers is well-pleasing and acceptable to God, because he is not just so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, but God desires all men to be saved, and he wants them to come to the knowledge of truth. And our prayers will do that. It will bring peace into these people's lives. This is what the kingdom of God is like. When we pray, thy kingdom come, this is all what we're praying. And I haven't even touched half of the list. I knew it was going to happen, but let me just say one more thing, and then I'm going to close out. I may continue it a long piece, depending on how the Holy Spirit leads. But who could have imagined that all this could have come out from the Lord's Prayer? Only God can do this sort of thing. I mean, only him, because I'm telling you, it's not me. I never knew all this. But, the Holy Spirit, it's amazing how we can expand things. He'll take a scripture and just expand it. And so God wants his people to live in peace. He wants us to enjoy peace. He wants us to walk in peace. He wants everyone, everything around us to be peaceful. It's the enemy who causes strife and conflict and chaos and confusion. But we have a God of peace. His kingdom is peace. When Jesus came, the Israelites, the children of Israel, they thought that, okay, we're going to make him king, and he's going to get us, he's going to remove all the burdens from the Romans, and they're not going to be able to rule over us. But that's not the kind of kingdom Jesus was talking about. And so many times we misunderstand. We put things in, we see it from an earthly perspective, but God has so much more. When he said, when he told, the people, this is how you should pray, when, thy kingdom come. At least me personally, I was thinking, the heaven is going to come down, and angels, they flutter around, that sort of stuff. See what the narrow interpretation we have of the word. But no, God wants peace. He wants righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hopefully next time I teach, I'll get onto that. But were you all blessed tonight?
Yeah.
I'm done.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving aciionlinegiving.com/4832, or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.